there is a mutual understanding that the engagement should continue, but it's on the Iranian side to let us know how they want to proceed.
The Iran-U.S. conflict not quite over, at least not yet. It's Friday, January 10th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Also coming up this half hour, a possible solution to China's mystery pneumonia outbreak. Taiwan gets ready to vote, and social media fueling desire for more democracy. That and more, all on today's VOA Asia. While tensions appear to be easing, at least for the moment, between the U.S. and Iran, appearances can be deceiving. President Donald Trump says that Iran appears to be, quote, standing down, but some Iranian authorities are suggesting that this week's ballistic missile strikes into Iraq may only be the beginning. And if there is confusion between Tehran and Washington, much of the rest of the world is struggling to make sense of where things go from here. From London, Henry Ridgewell reports.
While America's European allies were not given advance warning of the attack on Iran's top general, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said his country would not lament Soleimani's death. Britain, like the US, is among the nations that suffered at his hands, say analysts.
Qasem Soleimani has been responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American troops and other Western troops, including British troops.
As tens of thousands mourned in Iran, Britain, France and Germany issued a joint statement calling on all parties to exercise utmost restraint and responsibility. The European Union has invited Tehran's foreign minister to Brussels in a bid to defuse tensions.
There is a mutual understanding that the engagement should continue, but it's on the Iranian side to let us know how they want to proceed.
Europe hopes the 2015 Iran nuclear deal can be saved, despite Tehran's announcement that it will now disregard all restrictions on its nuclear enrichment activities.
In my view, I don't think the deal is dead until there's an escalation that leads to war.
Iran has pledged military retaliation, and U.S. allies fear they could also be targeted. NATO has suspended its training mission in Iraq, numbering several hundred troops, part of the Western coalition to defeat Islamic State. The alliance's Secretary General refused to comment Monday on whether NATO allies would support the United States in any conflict with Iran.
We have recently seen an escalation by Iran, including the strike on a Saudi energy facility and the shootdown of an American drone. At our meeting today, allies called for restraint and de-escalation. A new conflict would be in no one's interest.
Russia and China both condemned the killing of Soleimani. Analysts say Tehran could now seek greater support from its allies.
Before this escalation, China, Russia and Iran actually held naval exercises in the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman.
In the Middle East, anti-U.S. protests have spread from Iran and Iraq to Turkey, the Palestinian territories and Lebanon. Protesters also took to the streets in Pakistan. Meanwhile, Iran's longtime foe Israel praised the U.S. action.
President Trump is worthy of all appreciation for acting decisively, swiftly, and with strength.
All eyes are now on Iran and whether it will heed global calls for restraint or fulfill its pledge to exact revenge. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. China's economy czar will visit Washington next week for the signing of an interim trade deal. Residents in the path of wildfires raging southeast Australia were urged to evacuate Thursday if they don't intend to defend their homes. A group of foreign diplomats based in New Delhi visited Indian Kashmir for the first time after India scrapped the region's special status 5 months ago. And Pakistan and China have launched a major joint naval drill in the Arabian Sea to deepen their security cooperation. You can read and watch more on VOA Asia Facebook and Twitter. as well as our website, voanews.com. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. The 23 million citizens of Taiwan are preparing for a major election this weekend. It's been a rough campaign, complete with dirty tricks and blustering accusations. And as always, the shadow of Beijing hangs over the proceedings. Earlier, our Ira Melman spoke with VOA Mandarin Service correspondent Adam Xu, who is covering the elections from Taipei.
On Saturday, Taiwan voters are going to cast their vote to elect their president, vice president, and members in their legislature that governs the island that China sees as a province of its own. And like every election, China is a hot topic. And Taiwan's relationship with China is very much seen as a hot-button issue, not only regionally but internationally. And this year in particular, we've seen the protests in Hong Kong have had a very big role in the Taiwan people's perception regarding China. Let's just move back, just look back in 2018 in Taiwan's local election, the opposition party KMT won by a landslide, and it was seen as a referendum on the ruling party's performance, and the incumbent president, Chai Ing-wen, indeed resigned as her role as the party's chairwoman. But since the Hong Kong protests, President Chai's favorability has increased, and Hong Kong protests is being touted by Chai Ing-wen as a predicament for Taiwan. She's trying to make the case that Taiwan will be very much like Hong Kong if it loses its independence from Chinese rule. And the opposition KMT says her claim is exaggerated, and they believe that it's unrealistic for Taiwan to decouple from China economically and culturally. And we'll see if this trend will continue in the general election come Saturday.
What is mainland China's role in all this? And if they are not playing an official role, what kind of attitude do they have about the election that is forthcoming?
Mainland China has been very hostile towards the incumbent president Tsai Ing-wen. And we know that Beijing has infiltrated in the media environment in Taiwan very, very, very deeply and have control over many of the influential newspapers. There's claims that Beijing controls media groups, and even cyber groups are spreading disinformation, especially on social media. And it's very obvious that Beijing is trying to, through many different ways, infiltrate this environment, attacking Tsai Ing-wen. Since last year, Tsai Ing-wen's approval rating has increased because Beijing is trying to sell its so-called one country, two system political arrangement to Taiwan. But that effort has been proved it's not been accepted by the Taiwanese people. Even the opposition party, the KMT, has denounced the one country, two system arrangement. But generally, people believe that she will win this election, but we will see.
Adam Xu with VOA's Mandarin Service.
Your requests, your dedications, and interviews and performances by your favorite music superstars. It's Border Crossings. This is Larry London. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 15 hours Universal Time on VOA or online at voanews.com. You've got control. Border Crossings, weekdays at 15 hours Universal Time at voanews.com and the Voice of America.
This news alert from VOA Asia. The Taliban said on Thursday that it believes escalating military tensions between the United States and Iran are unlikely to hurt the insurgent group's negotiations with Washington aimed at ending the war in Afghanistan. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. And VOA Asia continues. A mysterious pneumonia outbreak that has struck dozens of people in China and worried thousands more apparently is from the same family of viruses as the deadly severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS. This, at least, according to a new report by Chinese scientists. They say a new coronavirus is responsible for the outbreak in Wuhan, finding the virus in 15 of 57 patients. Dr. Anthony Fauci is chief of the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, part of the U.S. National Institutes of Health, and he spoke with our Ira Melman.
Well, it's pretty clear right now that the Chinese authorities have identified a virus as the cause of this syndrome, which is characterized by fever and pneumonia with pulmonary infiltrates demonstrated on X-ray. The virus is a coronavirus, which is a class of viruses that range from causing the common cold to causing SARS. A new coronavirus several years ago caused the severe acute respiratory syndrome in China, which we refer to as SARS, as well as the Middle East respiratory syndrome, or MERS, which is described in the Middle East. Each of those two syndromes were caused by a relatively new virus within the broader category of coronavirus. Right now, we know that the Chinese investigators have made the determination that the syndrome in several of those individuals who have severe pulmonary disease and fever in China has been caused and is caused by a new coronavirus. The interesting thing about the current virus that we're seeing in Wuhan in China does not appear to spread, certainly not readily and maybe not at all, from human to human, because there have been no cases of infection of healthcare workers who were taking care of the people with this disease, which is unlike SARS, in which the healthcare workers were vulnerable to getting infected when they were taking care of people with this disease.
Is it possible for this type of virus to change so it does become contagious among human beings?
Well, certainly that's always a possibility, that a virus will adapt itself to better transmissibility from human to human, which is one of the reasons why the health authorities in China and in the surrounding countries are being very diligent and vigilant in screening people who are coming from China who have a fever and a possible syndrome that's compatible with this respiratory syndrome in Wuhan.
So I take it that the worry among the Chinese that the Lunar New Year is coming up and millions of people are going to be traveling on buses and trains and everything. So you say there's basically no worry about that now, right?
I wouldn't say no worry, but I would say it would be minimal, because what we're seeing now is no real indication that there's ready, efficient spread from human to human. But unless something changes now, and the virus does become much more amenable to spreading from person to person, the risk of big spread from feast days like the Lunar New Year are minimal. However, that does not mean that we should not be very diligent in our making sure that we are aware that this could happen.
NIAID Director Dr. Anthony Fauci. And that is VOA Asia for today and for this week. And what a week it's been. Here's hoping the weekend brings you some measure of peace. We'll be back with you again on Monday. We hope you'll join us then as well. And until then, be well.